You're watching No Go Zone with Henry.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is Thor's Day today, 26th of September, 2024. Hope you're all doing well. How are you guys? Good to be back with you. We're going to cover some of the situation when it comes to the escalating wars. I guess the continuation of the wars, really. They just don't stop these days. What's the reason for that? Well, we'll get into some of that today. And by the way, reminder here, of course, if you are, subbed over on our Telegram channel, Red Ice TV member, to sign up for the new one or follow the new one. Join, that's what it's called. Join the new one. Red Ice Uncensored, because, of course, there's companies that are gay, and this is what they do. They block and they ban and they try to shut you down. That's what happens when you're over the target, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it goes. I think the latest spat of censorship was over the situation in the UK with the riots there. Of course, we ran the line that this was completely justified and understandable. Was it always correct and the best method? No, but hey, look, it is what it is. They got to start somewhere. Okay. So anyway, don't forget that. We're going to talk. We do have, you know what? There's a couple of things here too. We'll kind of get to the meat of it. And one of the things is, of course, Florida, right? The situation down there. I guess we can show that real quick if we have. I think I saw someone in Rumble on the Rumble chat. What does it say? I worry about the trees. They just uproot and fall over. I think we got one of them. Debs Bennett, I think it's down there, right? Stay safe if you're down there. Helen races towards Florida as a major Category 3 storm. But last year was kind of bad, I guess, in that region. And was there one a few months ago? We didn't follow that one too closely. But anyway, if you're down there, I hope you stay safe. And that Thor, our lightning and thunder god there will keep you, will not be too harsh on the region down there. But watch out for that. We'll keep an eye on that too, depending on what happens. Man, I remember there was a few years in a row there where it just was just pounding like over and over and over again, and then it kind of slowed down for a while. And that's, you know, kind of that's how those things go, right? It's not always the same. You're gonna have variation when it comes to that, because of course it is natural cycles after all. Nothing unless of course it's fucking weather manipulation, which I don't, you know, discount whatsoever, especially not these days. All right, so anyway, before we get into the meat here, we got a couple of super chats we can take. We got Western Critique over on Odyssey. Shekel for a good guy. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. And holy shit. Arctic Wolf, our executive producer. Albert, you're a madman. You're insane, man. He's blowing up our chat over there on Entropy. Thank you so much. Holy shit. Thank you, sincerely. It's so kind of you, and you're so generous, and we're so fortunate to have you. As we say every time, we don't expect it, but every time we sincerely appreciate it, and we're blown away. So thank you so much. There's a couple of huge donors here from Albert here today. Hi Henrik, hope you guys have been having a great week. I love the Western Warrior this week, the segment on the private equity groups buying up trailer parks. Yes, exactly, was on point. Well, thank you. It's pure evil what these BlackRock-type companies are doing, indeed. They are motivated by nothing more than greed. Funny how all the CEOs are Jewish, too. Yeah, it just happens to be, you know, kind of thing. I'm still at work, so I'll catch the stream this evening. Happy to support. Well, thank you so much, Albert. And one more follow-up here from Arctic Wolf as well. One more thing. The Infowars situation infuriates me. Yes, so I will cover that later, too. Absolutely. Same here, obviously. As someone who started listening to Alex 15-plus years ago, it really hurts to see them potentially shut down. I don't always agree with Alex, but he has his First Amendment right, just like everyone else. This is also why I'm happy I found you guys, and Red Ice is now my number one. I'm so proud to be able to support you guys. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, too. No, of course not. I mean, again, nothing to do with disagreements in terms of Alex Jones, or we don't agree with this or that or whatever. They're using them, obviously, as to set the stage, if you will, to enable to do this against anyone they want, essentially. So we'll talk more about the liquidation situation a little bit later. I have a story on that. And I tune in to Alex, him talking about it too. And as usual, there's some misunderstanding in terms of the media. But as far as I understand the situation, it's basically, yes, they're going to take the assets, liquidate all of that, and hand it over to... let me put it this way. It's up for auction. That's right. So not that. So someone will probably buy it. Now, the question is who, and who will oversee that, and who will allow whom to buy it. Now, Alex said that Roger Stone was going to potentially buy the thing to go together with a few people. And, you know, as we actually covered in the latest Western Warrior, tune into that, by the way, if you missed that segment, on how Stone and Trump actually was used to destroy Buchanan's presidential run by Stone encouraged him to jump over to the Reform Party. And then, of course, kind of Trump jumped in to also, you know, kind of compete against Buchanan. Very interesting situation. I had not, I should have heard of that before, but I hadn't. I was like blown away that I hadn't. So Stone is kind of a fishy. He's a very fishy character. He was on the show, as I explained in the latest Western Warrior. This is like back in 2000. I thought it was like 11 or 12, but I looked at the date again. It was like 2014. It's like 10 years ago. And it was that him or his publisher, I guess, for his book at the time on Nixon that reached out and stuff like that. But anyway, check that out for more on that. It's kind of interesting. But regardless, I mean, yeah. So Alex Jones, they might buy it up, right? So he can basically just continue, basically. So that is what could happen. So it doesn't mean that it's over for InfoWars. And obviously, and Alex Jones can just, I mean, he can, what? I mean, what are they going to do? Like, no, you can't do this. Is that what, I mean, they could, I guess they could go that far. But I'm saying he could literally just set up a webcam and a mic at home and keep streaming, obviously, right? They claim that they own his name, though, and weird things like that. Like, Alex Jones brand. It's very bizarre, the whole situation. So yes, they are trying to shut him down, but the point is he could go to any other platform or any other company to pick him up. He could start a new show called something else and do it all over again, right? So I don't think it's over, but anyway, so we'll do, maybe I carve it all then. we'll see if we need to return to it later, but anyway, thank you so much, Arctic Wolf. Holy smokes, one of our bigger supporters. You guys, you other guys better step up here and start matching Arctic Wolf here. He puts you all to shame. Gentlemen, thank you so much. The Fairbus Toll is here too. Good to see you with a 1488. Well, thank you, sir. Tribe and Train, Hail Red Ice, indeed. Yeah, I have a video. I think I'll dedicate it to you later, Alex, later in the show. A good one. Regarding that, regarding getting active, 100%. 1488, we got a shit. Did you guys see? I have to. Where is it here? Here we go. Did you guys see this? Speaking about 1488, it's great. I mean, what can you say? MindPillow here came out with an explosive tweet. Standard classic MyPillow, only 1488 with with promo code. He could have done a little bit more, kind of some better promo code, but okay, we'll take it, right? Order now, don't wait. you know, let me see, you know the shit libs, and I mean, it's nothing to decode, obviously, but you know what I'm saying, you know that, and he has no idea, MyPillow has no idea about 1488. I mean, I'm convinced of it. If he did, I'd be blown away, and that'd be fucking hilarious. But I don't think he does. But yeah, I'm closer now to actually getting MindPillow. Also, we'll see what we do. We also got here Aquarius Fabrications LLC. Good to see you again, Zach from Logos Reveal. Got on Stu Peters' network, and I was able to get on Zach's show with the White Power Shower. I gave you a mention. Well, thank you. Not ready for sale en masse. But it pleases me to gift my creations to the greats like yourself. Well, thank you. Until you're ready, we'll have another thing coming your way. Well, thank you. So we are. Well, I'm going to blow the whistle on that, but we might have a very good studio space opening up for us here shortly, because we will be relocating. Now it's not done yet, so we'll see. Maybe it won't pan out, or whatever. But that would be a good time, actually, in terms of, getting something like that, to be honest. So definitely keep us in mind for that. We'd love to have one of your white power shower, obviously. So it's the best way to start the day, right? With some white power shower. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Check out Aquarius Fabrication LLC for more on that. Okay. So where are we here? What are we doing, folks? Well, it's two. Oh, New York Times. Thank you. Let me see if we can find that on. Can we find that on archive real quick? I should have done that. 2 years ago, I think today, right? To the day, Nord Stream blew up. No answers. No arrests. No one in prison. No one really knows anything. We got some speculation. Well, with this random Ukrainian guy, and maybe they were in Poland, and yeah, maybe they used some German guy also or something. But really, no one knows. It's incredible. It's one of the largest acts of infrastructure terrorism in modern history, as far as I can tell, right? Even on an environmental scale alone, the crime, right, of something like this, like massive amounts of methane released into the atmosphere, incredible detrimental, apparently, for those who care about such things. I don't think that's a problem, looking at the bigger picture on those things. We have that. Did you guys see this? Was it, did I not save that down? Oh, no, there it is, global warming. Did you guys see this? By the way, there was a new Washington Post, speaking of which, I'm already off on tangents here, but hey, while we got you on this topic, I think it was Zero Hedge that tweeted this out. It was Washington Post. Check this out here. Scientists have captured Earth's climate over the last 485 million years. Now, you could kind of, maybe, I don't know. You could press X to doubt here. I'm not sure. But anyway, but right over there on the right-hand side in the little yellow corner, that's where we are. And now they try to argue, well, it's because it's increasing faster than ever, and that's the danger. But not really. You can look back. There's a couple of other examples in that graph going up and down fairly sharply there, including before the first mammals. You see that? And there's another spike. Where would that be? 230, 240, something like that, around that mark. Equally, fast, sharp upturning temperatures, essentially. It's actually cool, much cooler now compared to how it used to be. You had basically subtropical climates in Greenland at one point. And in fact, we should have more carbon dioxide because that would produce more plants, and with more plants and green stuff, you get more oxygen. With more oxygen, life thrives even better. And I don't think that's a problem. Can you imagine if we had something like the Arctic or Antarctic, I guess, opening up, new landmass opening up or something like that? I think it'd be great. Back to Zeptepi. That's what I say. The first time. Look into that Egyptian mythology. It's kind of interesting. They basically have some kind of distant memory of an era before. Like the weirdness, I guess, for them, with this unbalanced season started. Now I enjoyed the seasons, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying that apparently there was a time where like it was much more temperate all over the earth. Okay, so no rest, no nothing. We're not closer to anything, right? What's known about the mystery pipeline explosion? Reuters piece is back from February. I think we covered that. That's 8 months ago. Now, nowhere closer. Sweden had an investigation going. They dropped it. They deferred to Germany. You'll pick up on this for me, won't you? What is happening in Germany? We could talk about that a little bit. And some of the fallout from that too, which is amazing because the whole situation with the Russia war, is one of the reasons why Germany went in this direction. And of course, that's one of the reasons why they blew up the Nord Stream 2 to sever that connection between the East and the West, essentially, or Russia in this case, and Europe, right? BASF, one of these large chemical, manufacturers, huge industry. I think it was started together with companies like IG Farben and stuff like that before. I think it was maybe even before World War I, if I have that correct, but regardless, maybe the interwar period or something like that, but yeah. Huge industries in Germany, been there for a long time. Now they're quietly have to close 11 factories. And of course, they're going to transfer it to China for plant investment. Germany's largest chemical company, BASF, does not rule out closing some of its production facilities as a part of a large-scale cost-cutting program. They're experiencing difficulties due to price pressure and high energy prices. Last year, the company announced the closures of 10% of its production facilities, which I believe are those 11 factories mentioned in this article right here. And this is primarily in Ludwigshafen. Ludwig, that's a good name. I like that name. About 2,500 jobs were to be eliminated there. But no problem. This is going to lead them to basically cutting the production of adipic acid. And I'm just like, Well, okay, well, what is that then? And I was like, well, it's used primarily for, it's a food additive. Look at this. Acidifier, buffer gelling aid, and sequestrant in many foods, including powdered fruit drinks, cake mixes, gelatinous desserts, evaporated milk, instant puddings, bottled drinks, throat lozenges, and edible oils. What kind of, like seed oils? What kind of oils? Nylon production, polymers, plastic. Somebody's saying, yeah, maybe, okay, well, maybe there's a silver lining. Get rid of that shit. We don't need it anyway. But anyway, it's the point. You know what I'm saying. It's the point, right? That they're like, they're sacrificing their own in the industry. Now, this is leading to cuts at like Volkswagen and so, you know, some of the most iconic German brands because of the fucking high energy prices in the wake of this infrastructure terrorist attack on gas, right? So what are they doing? Well, since the theme of today is kind of, I guess, which is endless wars and more wars, let's put it in context in terms of what Germany is doing for other countries. Not itself in this regard, but for other countries. Germany pledges more military and energy aid for Ukraine at the recent UN assembly. And I've yet to actually go through some of the footage from the Summit of the Future, by the way. We covered just I played a clip briefly in the latest Western Warrior, but lots of aids to go through there, and you know it. Germany will allocate about 170 million euros to restore Ukraine's energy infrastructure. Not Germany's, but Ukraine's energy infrastructure. This is the spokesman for the cabinet there in Germany, Stefan Haberstreit, who said this. He also reported that the Bundestag agreed to increase funding for military support in Ukraine by approximately 400 million euros, which is just incredible when you think of how bad the situation is in Germany, right now. And it's about to get worse. Again, the closing of some of these plants and stuff like that, that's just potentially the beginning. They want them to be dependent. Probably Israel will move in at some point here to become the go-between in terms of oil and natural gas and stuff like that. But yes, you do also have those plans to build that. Now, I guess it depends on if you do have a Trump win or a Kamala win. I guess a little bit there is a disagreement there. That's one thing they actually differ on, right, in terms of the expansion of the becoming more energy independent and things like that. There's huge fields of natural gas in the U.S. that's yet to be tapped, right? And so it's just about the infrastructure, building out the LNG, the liquid natural gas, ability to basically, take it in, convert it, and then ship it, and then have enough ports in Europe to be able to receive it, essentially, right? So the effects of this, as we've said many times, of the Nord Stream for Europe specifically, might still be 2 to 3 years out. We don't know, right? So we're probably going to see increased energy prices. And this always rolls around, of course, wintertime when you're in much more need to heat, homes and industry and stuff like that, right? So what are we doing? Let's go over to this. Here's Governor Josh Shapiro. Who was it that ran against him again in Pennsylvania? He had talked with Torba of Gab. I forget his name now. Maybe Chad has it. He was, was slated to be probably much better on many issues, right? Josh Shapiro, obviously being Jewish. And that, they play the anti-Semitism card and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, whatever his name was, he got elected and he became the governor of Pennsylvania, and now he's inviting another Jew, Zelensky, to tour the weapons manufacturing plants, among others, in Scranton. We must do our part in the fight for freedom, Josh Shapiro says here, from the workers in Scranton who make Pennsylvania the arsenal of democracy to the brave Ukrainian soldiers protecting their country. Is that, well, at least he's honest as with democracy. Maybe I should replace, should we do a, we could do a dildo painted munitions or something, maybe with democracy on it, though. I'm not sure. You have that famous one of like them dropping dildos over a country, right? the arsenal of democracy. We stand with Ukraine in their just defense of their homeland in the face of Russian aggression, Josh Shapiro. And here he is in true, really in true Israeli form, right? Because this is what we've seen from a lot of the American politicians and, you know, Zionists and stuff like that. They go and they sign messages on weapons, bombs, munitions and stuff that's going to Israel, right? As they drop them on the heads of Palestinians and now Lebanese people and shit like that. So those people can, of course, come to Europe, right? They bomb these brown countries, and then they come to Europe and America. Just like these Zionists wanted, I guess. All right, but yeah, there's a handshake. It looks like Richard Lauder or something like that. What's his name again? Is it Lauder? The American Jewish Committee? The World Jewish Congress, right? It looks just like him, the guy who's shaking Zelensky's hand there. But it might not be him. I think there's another one. Victory in the field begins in the factory, it says behind them there. These fucking war... you know, hawks. It's incredible. Do you think Shapiro will be on the front lines and fighting? You know, and again, to make it clear for newcomers and Spurgs who still don't understand this, no, I'm not supportive of what Russia is doing in Ukraine, although at least initially they had a little bit more reason for it because of what Zelensky and the other people that are pulling Ukraine strings now had done when expansions of NATO and asking for nuclear weapons and then the biolabs and like all that shit, right? So yeah, they were at the time a little bit more sensible. Doesn't mean I'm a big Putin bro. I don't like, you know, Russia. You know, they're not a bastion of you know, Matrad values and all that stuff. They have plenty. They're doing some things right. Obviously, they're doing some things. You know, they're good on the LGBTQ stuff and keeping that out and stuff like that. So good for them. But overall, no. How I see this is just basically weakening the West, right, to bring down the Atlantic NATO powers, and then they are strengthening the global South of the BRICS countries in order to have these two forces eventually go at it. Probably to maximize the amounts of deaths, right, so the one side really isn't that much stronger than the other. It plays into that endless wars kind of scenario, because at some point I think it's coming. It's like the 1984 novel, right, in terms of like how you keep people in check with these constant conflicts, and then you can begin to justify rationing and like, yeah, you're suffering, life is shit for you essentially, right? But you see, we gotta do it for the war effort, right? While these fucking creeps live high on the hog, like Josh Shapiro and Zelensky and all this stuff, they're buying property everywhere. It's a Jewish mafia, basically. That's what it is. Now, there's a lot of Shabbos goys involved in that, too, and a lot of people that, you know, selfish needs and all that stuff. But as he says there, to, like, defenders of freedom and defense of their whole, like, you're being invaded to the South right now, and you're, like, you bother to, like, care more about Ukraine. It's just so disgusting with everything that's happening. Again, going back to Germany, just how detrimental the situation is for them. They're being invaded. Crime is out of control. Rape is out of control. They're being invaded by all these refugees and asylum seekers and migrants and economic opportunists and welfare queens and all that shit. And then they just screw their own people, and then they turn their back on them. And they just, here's your prepaid credit card with funds. Did you guys see this? I think I did a tweet about that. Actually, I did show it in the Western Warrior 2, but we could bring it in again. Refugees have these credit cards, right, filled up right now with, how much was it again? What was the tagline here? Hundreds of euros that autofill each month for them, essentially. But, oh, no, they have to sign some affidavit or something that they're using it for, just for food or some shit like this. But, yeah, as you can see, you actually have the UNHCR logo and the EU logo on that card, too, by the way. I do not think that's fake. We have seen similar things in the U.S., right? Interagency Coordinator Platform for Refugees and Migrants from Venezuela confirms that the UN and other non-governmental organizations are giving migrants debit cards. So, you know, we get screwed over, and they are let into our countries, and they get everything. Now, this is an interesting pivot here, because, of course, the critique is justified, right, in terms of Zelensky and all this stuff. So we'll say they're correct, but, of course, they don't take the full view on this. Here he is touring the plant, as we saw. He's touring ammunition factories in Pennsylvania, attacking President Trump and J.D. Vance in America in American media outlets. A foreign leader is essentially campaigning for Harris on American soil. Now, that's disgraceful, and that's ridiculous. So here's Donald Trump Jr. So a foreign leader has received billions of dollars in funding from American taxpayers, comes to our country, and has the nerve to attack the GOP ticket for president. And he does this right after a pro-Ukraine zealot tried to assassinate my father. Disgraceful, he says. Which, of course, is absolutely true. However, we have to point this out. Then the other side are not only completely blind, they're in the pocket of Israeli, Zionist, Jewish influence. Right? The circle jerk of donations, right? Of how AIPAC, you can question, well, how did AIPAC make their money, right? But as you can see here, it's close to $300 billion Israel has received from the United States taxpayer. And primarily that is military. And then they have this again, this like, well, you see, that's who was it that said that again? It was someone who said that. I go, well, it's actually good because it just goes right back to the American defense, industry, essentially. So it's creating gerbs. We're creating gerbs by dripping berms on the brown people. And then those brown people, of course, can invade you. And then the GDP keeps going up, right? But yeah, so AIPAC gets its money. They pay that to, they put that in the pockets of American politicians, so spring into action. And then, of course, those American politicians decide to give billions, hundreds and hundreds of billions to Israel, which can give a few more of those millions to a group like AIPAC. And then AIPAC gives that to the politicians. And then the politicians spring into action like never before and sign another bill for an additional $8 billion or whatever the hell it was just a few days ago now for Israel's support so they can defend fucking democracy or something. And then we get more brown people in our country. It's almost, it's more than a quarter of $1 trillion that Israel has received. And all this guy can complain. The critique against Zelensky and those who control him and all that is justified, is 100% correct. But they don't, will not see the other side. In fact, here's Trump talking about Zelensky recently, which is correct, right?
I think Zelensky's the greatest salesman in history. Every time he comes into the country, he walks away with $60 billion. Billion! Walks in with $60 billion. He wants them to win this election so badly. But I would do differently. I will work out peace before as president-elect, if I win this election, the first thing I'm going to do is call up Zelensky and call up President Putin, and I'm going to say, you got to make a deal. This is crazy.
I mean, I wish you would, and I'm all aboard of that. That's great, right? But okay, well, there's what about Israel? what about the Jewish interests that are controlling you? And it's not that it would be this, like, I mean, the Democrats would support Ukraine. Ultimately, we'll see if Trump gets, we'll see if anything happens there. I don't think much would, but if it did, sure, great. You know what I mean? But of course, Trump is going to be amazing for Israel, obviously. Sheldon Adelson gave Trump and Republicans over $424 million since 2016. Now, of course, Miriam Adelson, Sheldon Adelson's wife, have, of course, taken over this role, and we've shown some other headlines many, many times of how Trump wants Miriam to be his largest donor. He's asking for more, hundreds of millions, and she wants the West Bank in return. And, he gave them the Golan Heights, and he talked about it. We play that. Check that out in the Western Warrior Show. Get in there. $10 a month. Help support us. It's a great segment we did on that. But cover how he just like talks about fucking difficult this Jew was to this Sheldon Adelson. But I just moved to the embassy. It's not good enough. More. Next thing. And he's like, well, I gave you the Golan Heights. I just did that. You didn't even ask for it. I gave it to you. Wasn't that great? He's like, yeah, well, more. We need more. And of course, he's oh, well, he's an American. No, he was buried at the Mount of Olives. It's like that's where, you know, if you didn't have the COVID bullshit going on at the time, it probably would have been like a huge ceremony around it. It was kind of a little bit limited and few people because of, you know, as you can see, all the masks and stuff like that back in January 2021. Kind of, is that when the vax rollout was or when was it? Anyway, Sheldon Adelson's coffin arrives in Israel ahead of funeral on Mount of Olives. He lays there together with, like, you know, Mossad assets like Robert Maxwell, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell's father, you know, things like that. Netanyahu pays respect to the late casino magnate before his Friday Jerusalem burial. He will be remembered as a great Jewish patriot, which is, of course, you know, he was. He did everything. He was all for Jews, all for Israel, all for Zion, right? And but here's just putting that in perspective, right? So here's a foreign leader who's received billions. Yeah, I mean, okay, Trump didn't receive billions, maybe, but hundreds of millions, and you're in the pocket of these people. And then it's like, did you see Russia pay? And again, I'm not a huge fan of Russia, so it's not that, but just putting it in perspective, right? $10 million that Russia apparently somehow paid Tenet Media to influence the elections in the U.S. kind of thing. It's like, yeah, what do you think this guy's doing? It's not about influencing elections. AIPAC controls both candidates. That's what I'm saying. It wouldn't be this like, well, Kamala would be pro-Ukraine and Trump would be anti-Ukraine, but Trump would be pro-Israel, but Kamala would be anti-Israel. It will just probably keep rolling as usual. It's just what percentage ratio would you have when you have, all right, Trump gets elected, now you have 80% Israel support and maybe just 20 Ukraine. And if Kamala gets in, it would be more like a 50-50 or so. Who knows? It's Kabuki. Give us some Kabuki theater. But anyway, so they're doing that. And this is interesting, too. Open Secrets. Top contributors, federal election data for Donald Trump. Timothy Mellon apparently stepped in there and he's donated 75, which is a lot. It's not as much as Adelson, which is funny because they're kind of high, like they're hiding, they're downplaying that for some reason. Now they do have Adelson in here. Where is it? Yeah, here it is. Adelson Clinic for Drug Abuse Treatment and Research, $5 million. Why don't they have the other? I'm not sure. Oh, it's just a 2024 cycle, but the point is, I think he has already received more from Miriam. Maybe the money didn't clear yet. I don't know. Maybe the wire didn't clear yet. I'm not sure. But anyway, as you can see here, Republican Jewish Coalition donating to Trump here. But Mellon was kind of interesting. I was starting to look into him a little bit. That's a heir to the Carnegie Mellon, that Mellon, I believe. Uline is kind of, and here's the third one. I was like, Laura Isaac Perlmutter Foundation have given Trump $10 million. Now this is interesting. I assume they've given more to him before. Here's Mellon then. Yeah, billionaire Timothy Mellon poured $165 million into 2024 elections, which is, so he's stepped up more and more recently. 2016, $32,000. 2018, $10 million. 2020, $60 million. 2022, $41 million. And now finally in 2024, $165 million. What does that buy you? I don't know. I haven't looked into too much what's the angle. Is he a true believer? No, of course not. There's always a, you know, pay to play here. If these guys are getting, you know, Golan Heights and, you know, potentially the West Bank next here, what is this guy going to get? I'm not sure. Here is Perlmutter. Oh, and an Israeli-American billionaire. Oh, third on that list, huh? Yeah, okay, interesting. Now, if you go to their website, the Laura and Isaac Perlmutter Foundation, the Innocence Project. Now, isn't that what Trump was talking about? I think this is what he did talk about, basically letting black criminals out of jail early and all that stuff, right? But check this out. Supporting social justice, ADL, is listed on there. Look at that. To advance the Perlmutter's passion for creating a better and equal society, the foundation supports a wide range of organizations and initiatives, all fighting for social justice. Yeah, so they have some NACDL, Foundation on for Criminal. This is probably some like anti-white stuff, obviously. But here we go. Here's the biggest anti-whites of them all. ADL is listed. So they see the overlap here. The Perlmutters donates to ADL and they donate to Trump. All right, they're number three on that list. Right, that isn't that interesting. So of course those are the, because you had Greenblatt recently basically stop short of endorsing Trump. It was this close. He was talking about the importance of the Abraham Accords and like how great this was. And of course, since October 7th, you'd seen a lot of these Jewish activists that used to be or vocally or maybe they kept quiet in some respects, but many of them were vocally like Trump is a Nazi. This is white nationalism. This is bad. They've kind of conceded on those points, and they've realized actually now we need Trump. We need America. Even the alliance with Christians have increased, right? We need these people to go and fight our wars for us. They need to line up and die. We can't do this on our own. And of course, they don't want their people to die because they're Israel first. They're Jews first. And so they're trying to get that, you know, that those bridges, fully and entirely rebuilt. You know what I mean? All right, so anyway, so that's some of the top contributors to the Trump campaign. Now, it's crazy on the other side, too. Of course, doesn't mean that Kamala Harris is going to be any decent on any of those issues that we've talked about. It'll be, on some of them, she'll be even worse, obviously. But, you know, for the accelerationists out there, maybe worse is better. Some days I understand the perspective, and other days I'm like, no, hell no, it's going to be a fucking nightmare. But, I don't know. Ultimately, it's not up to me to decide those things. But anyway, back to Ukraine here a little bit. Apparently, the war is going badly. Can you imagine such a thing? Who could have thunk it? It's going badly. You can still, though, keep it going for as long as possible to kill as many Ukrainians and Russians as possible. You can enrich the Black Rocks and, the defense contractors and, the Boeings, the Lockheeds, who else am I missing here? ABB, probably, and all these other corporations. Forgetting them now. And they give billions to Israel, and Israel buys way. And along the way, there's so much pocketing of this money and hiking prices, right? Well, this, sell it at a top tier price, and you get a lot of money flowing around. But anyway, they still did. I play the Vance clip there, or maybe do I have that later? Okay, well, yeah, we'll get to that. He actually said some good things regarding that, and it's like, kind of sucks for Ukraine, but like, if you don't sit down at the negotiating table, you'll probably be gobbled up by Russia. You know what I mean? There was an opportunity, and they said, no, don't do it. You're going to keep them fighting this war. We want to destroy Ukrainian nationalism, I think, by using Ukrainian nationalism or national socialism, like the Azov groups and these people. Destroy them, attack Russia at the same time, enrich people along the way, going to get all this, corruption and shit going. And then you have all these corporations swoop in that they can buy up assets in Ukraine, such as the farmland, right? We'll play a clip on that later, too. And other assets, right? And then they can rebuild them, like BlackRock won the contract to rebuild Ukraine. So in other words, the more things are destroyed, the more lucrative this is actually for them to prolong these wars, right? This is one of the reasons why we have these endless wars, while they're touting that this is about freedom and patriotism and they have to defend themselves, kind of thing. But anyway, this is The Economist here, right? Rothschild-owned publication. Zelensky in Washington, the war is going badly. Ukraine and its allies must change course. Time for credible war aims. Kind of admitting then that the war aims that they had before was not feasible. And they were just like pumping up the Ukrainian patriotism for like Europeans and Americans, in order to just give them as much money and weapons as possible to try to, attack Russia. And that hasn't fully succeeded. So now they're like, we got to rethink this here a little bit. Because they also want to extend it further, right? However, then you have some of the true believers that are total lunatics, which... This is when it actually will turn bad for everybody, right? They want Ukraine to join NATO. They want NATO membership for Ukraine. And that's, of course, Blinken have said this. Just just happens to be another Jewish guy, by the way. So, you know, Zelensky and Shapiro and Blinken and, you know, all these people who are members of this Jewish mafia are pushing for this because they want more people dead. Especially, I think they especially want Ukrainian nationalists dead. I think they're very happy to see that, to be honest. And unfortunately, some of people on our side, they're beating the war drums too, and they think that this will be good for Ukraine to just give them more weapons and stuff. No, it's just going to kill more Ukrainians. That's what it's going to do, which is just what they want. Anyway, summarizing here, Ukraine cannot regain lost territories by military means, lacking the necessary forces and resources. So basically, they're running out of manpower. We have 500,000 Ukrainians potentially died. We don't even know how many Russians. They're depleting an entire a couple of generations of Ukrainian men. And you know, afterwards, when they're done with all this shit, BlackRock, when they have their, you know, fifth industrial revolution bullshit on, you know, firmly in place, either after, during, or before that, they're going to start letting in the Africans and the Arabs and all these other people that, you know, countries like Israel is bombing right now, and just pour them into Ukraine. Well, there's no man left. What are you going to do? The country requires something far more ambitious than Zelensky's victory plan, an urgent shift in strategy. Again, it's a summation of some of the things they talk about in the article here, right? War fatigue is growing in Ukraine with a widening gap between the complete victory many Ukrainians desire and the willingness or ability to achieve it. Zelensky risks alienating Ukraine supporters and deepening societal divides if he continues to insist on reclaiming all territories occupied by Russia since 2014. A more realistic goal for Ukraine would be to hold the current front line and focus on becoming a prosperous pro-Western democracy. Within those there. Because we know what that means, right? In other words, go down the same paths as Western European countries, which is basically suicide, white genocide. The U.S. should offer, well, and the war is doing this anyway, obviously. The U.S. should offer Ukraine a path to NATO membership without the Russian liberated territories and promise not to deploy foreign troops in peacetime. A dysfunctional Ukraine could become a dangerous neighbor with rising corruption and nationalism. So they still have, let me see if they... okay. Yeah. Is it? Oh, this is the Economist's on their website. I think it's blocked. So let me look at the archive piece. I just want to see that portion of it. Yeah. Indeed, a dysfunctional Ukraine could itself become a dangerous neighborhood. Already, corruption and nationalism are on the rise. What do you mean? Like they've used this nationalism in order to justify, and I was saying that's wrong. Sure, it can be misdirected, right? If that nationalism leads you to destroying your nation in the process, that's not that great. I know that sometimes you're gonna, you know, if you're attacked, you go to war, it sucks, but what are you gonna do? You gotta kind of attack or whatever. But however, having said that, when other foreign interests then step into the fray there and basically says, we'll protect you, but you have to sign all these agreements. And here you get here's BlackRock that's going to rebuild this after the war. And here's all these things you have to do for us. And in fact, now we're going to arm you, but we're going to use your people to go to war with our perceived enemies and stuff. And that's, of course, what they did, right? But yeah, they've used nationalism. They've allowed a level of nationalism in Ukraine and for Ukraine. They've even allowed open national socialist groups to operate. And recently, even Washington dropped the supposed ban that this weapon ended up in Azov's hands anyway. But I'm saying, even officially, they're like, all right, fuck that. We're not even going to, like, just give the national socialists all the weapon they have. Because, again, why? Because they care about Ukraine and nationalism? Of course not. They want to use them to destroy them. And if they could, you know, get their way at the same time, great. But if you have any true nationalists left after the smoke has settled and you know the rubble has been bulldozed away or whatever, they'll start their propaganda campaign to clamp down on nationalists there. I'm convinced of it. Anyway, if Ukrainians feel betrayed, Russia could rally battle-hardened soldiers against the West and NATO. Now, I still think that's a lie of this. Like, well, he wants to, you know, take over. Putin wants to take over all of Europe. I still think this is just, you know, kind of bullshit, whatever. that they drive. But listen to J.D. Vance here, because this was fairly decent, right, in terms of what needs to happen. Again, is it ideal? No, but you're so deep into it now, and you judging from articles like this, and many people have said this a long time, like the UK, you're probably not going to win this. This is very, even with all the backing and all the billions, everything that have been given by the West. Look at how difficult this has been for them, right? So my take would have been, all right, kind of sucks. You, who wants to secede land or whatever? But look, you've been shelling some of these people in those eastern areas of Ukraine since 2014, at least. Well, actually, it goes back further than that. And all these other gay ops that have happened in Ukraine since 2008, something like that. But yeah, you got to sit down at the negotiating table and try to figure that out. And if that means cutting off some of those lands in order to save the rest of your country and your people and not have all the fucking men die, that's kind of what you have to do, right? Listen to what Vance said here.
Ukraine wants this war to end. Europe, which, by the way, has underfunded this war while American taxpayers have been very generous to the Ukrainians, the Europeans want this war to end because it's jacking up their energy prices. So I think what this looks like is Trump sits down. He says to the Russians, the Ukrainians, the Europeans, you guys need to figure out what does a peaceful settlement look like. And what it probably looks like is something like the current line of demarcation between Russia and Ukraine. That becomes like a demilitarized zone. It's heavily fortified so the Russians don't invade again. Ukraine remains its independent sovereignty. Russia gets the guarantee of neutrality from Ukraine. It doesn't join NATO. It doesn't join, some of these sort of allied institutions. And I think that's ultimately what this looks like.
Yeah. I don't think that's wrong, to be honest. Would a Trump be able to achieve that? I'm not sure, to be honest. But if he tries, sure. great kind of thing. But yeah, you're going to have to, those eastern parts, we're going to have some fucking buffer zone or something. But again, I think what they want is they want them to join NATO. And then what? It's hard to say. Do they want nuclear war? I don't know. Maybe it's possible. You hear this all the time, and oh my God, that's a World War III. But it's very possible. Because ultimately, if you have complete fucking lunatics in charge, yeah, they might just push these buttons and then all hell breaks loose and that's that. But it will probably be extended and it will continue in a kind of way that most people don't expect, right? Even you, I remember looking at some not simulation, well, I guess simulations of sort, right? Like how would a war between these parties look like or whatever. And in some of the videos I looked, it was like quickly they just wheel out like bigger and bigger weapons and eventually just turns to a nuclear war. And of course, now 2 years in, two and a half years in almost, that hasn't happened. But a push for NATO would definitely do that. And this was an interesting article. Nuclear war would wipe out the Swedes. Well, wipe out many more. But a study conducted by a group of American scientists shows that Sweden is one of the countries most affected by a nuclear war between the United States and Russia. According to a simulation of such a scenario, 99% of Swedes would not cope with life or be able to survive, not because of the bombings themselves, but primarily because of the global mass violence that would follow. And then they talk about food, right? Researchers assume that the nuclear war in question would be directed at cities, triggers firestorms, which in turn would create huge amounts of soot in the upper atmosphere, blocking the sunlight and cool down the planet. It is concluded that a week's warfare of this type would mean that the harvest will decrease by 90%, even 4 years after the end of the war. Now, I'm not sure what I think of this. The nuclear winter scenario, there was a clip here that they linked up. Let's look at that real quick. I'm still not sure if that would happen. I've seen some people are like, that's debunked or whatever. Oh, this is kind of longer. Let's watch a little bit of it here.
Scientists used to think that nuclear war would get us mainly via explosions, radioactive fallout, and electromagnetic pulse. But a nuclear winter could kill much more people. If the US and Russia go at it, black smoke could smother Earth for years and ruin farming so that most humans would starve to death. So what makes so much smoke? Why does it spread around the globe? How can it stay up for years? And how does it impact food production? I'm Max Tegmark, an MIT physics professor who's very curious about these questions. So let's explore them together. Some of the world's leading nuclear winter researchers kindly gave me gigabytes of their state-of-the-art simulation data so that I could make these visualizations of what happens. Here's the nuclear war between India and Pakistan, producing 47 megatons of black carbon smoke. The smoke isn't made by the nuclear explosions themselves, but by firestorms in large cities that have been ignited by nuclear airbursts. Like a campfire on steroids, a firestorm makes hot air and smoke rise up while sucking in cooler air from the sides. This creates storm-level winds fanning the flames, igniting anything that can burn, melting glass and some metals, and turning asphalt into flammable hot liquid. The Hiroshima bomb caused such a firestorm, and a large city like New Delhi, with over 100 times greater population, can create much more smoke in a firestorm, sending plumes up into the stratosphere, far above any rain clouds that would otherwise wash out the smoke.
Yeah, so that's the
these simulations of
the key there. Anyway, so it's just science says this. I've seen people debunking it, saying it wouldn't happen that way or whatever. I don't know. I don't think we should try to find out. Let me put it that way. Regardless of what it wouldn't happen. It's fine. We can all nuke each other. It's fine. Ukraine's losing the war. We definitely have to have them join NATO so that we can have a nuclear war. So like all everyone can fucking die. You know what I mean? We can play a little bit of this one. The controversial science of nuclear winter is one. There's probably even better videos on this, but they basically don't know. Let's play a little bit of this here.
A nuclear explosion. Nuclear bombs are powerful and all, but the destructive force of this impact is estimated to be
they're comparing it to I think like the comet that supposedly wiped out the dinosaurs. I'm sorry, the volcanic eruption. Well, there was a number of things at the same time, right? But yeah, if there was a comet that struck, that triggered volcanic eruptions too. But regardless, comparison in terms of like natural disaster, volcano and or comets, and like how that would compare to actually nuclear weapons. That's what he's beginning with in this video here.
100 billion times larger. 100 billion atomic bombs. The chain of events that followed this impact are so utterly horrifying and uncanny. Kurzgesagt made an amazing video of this, and they've allowed us to show some clips. We're talking earthquakes across the globe of a magnitude unlike anything we've ever seen. Tidal waves submerging half the U.S. Lava spewing out of the fractured Earth's crust. And vaporized rock erupting from the blast zone, spreading around the Earth in space, and then raining down globally, causing the entire Earth to get as hot as an industrial oven, killing most dinosaurs within hours. The point is, nuclear explosions are really different from big asteroids. And since they don't emit sulfur dioxide the way volcanoes do, for nuclear explosions to cool the Earth in a significant way, the smoke and ash they produce has to rise way up into the stratosphere above the rainfall. And for that to happen, the nuclear winter theory points to this plume lofting effect, where the sun heats the smoke particles, causing the air around it to warm and then rise. Now, smoke doesn't generally do this, right? It settles. But there is evidence that lofting happens in certain situations, like intense firestorms. A 2017 forest fire in Canada caused smoke to get into the stratosphere, and some aerosols stayed up there as long as 8 months. It doesn't seem to have had a significant climate impact, but it serves as a proof of concept. The thing is, if you're going to talk about evidence that supports the nuclear winter theory, you should also talk about evidence that doesn't. For starters, we have actual nuclear attacks. In 1945, the US dropped two nuclear weapons on cities in Japan. The smoke generated from the attack settled pretty quickly. In Hiroshima, the smoke seeded rain clouds, and black rain fell a few hours later. Now, bombs are bigger now, and cities are bigger too, which means there's more burnable material, resulting in more smoke. But keep in mind, in nuclear war, most atomic bombs will be detonated high above the ground to maximize their radius of destruction. Some will target underground missile silos and bunkers, which could jettison more dust into the air. But those are the exceptions, not the rule. That's why, according to the nuclear winter theory, Much of the smoke would come from fires that spread on the surface after the original detonation. And it so happens, we've learned a lot about big fires recently. Now let's look at the area that was burned from the Hiroshima attack, and then size this up to the area burned in the recent megafire in Australia. Forest fires are arguably much more relevant events to study than volcanoes. The visible sun-blocking smoke from these big fires was far-reaching and quite unworldly, but it settled in a matter of days. Now, some aerosols remain in the air longer. Perhaps that plume effect was in play. The National Center for Atmospheric Research found that the global cooling effect for the Australia fires was, at the most severe moment, 0.06 degrees Celsius. Now, let's compare this cooling to the cooling of Mount Pinatubo. Looking at this suggests to me that big volcanoes with their sulfur dioxide are more effective at getting aerosols into the stratosphere and cooling the Earth than surface fires.
But then don't you have the opposite of that too? That if they release methane, that's a greenhouse gas and that's supposed to warm the Earth. But anyway, it's like a longer video. But anyway, the point is there's like, there is, you know, evidence here in terms of like that the nuclear winter theory is not real or whatever. But again, who would want to like wager and try to find out? We don't even fucking know. What are we talking about? Russia has, they're the greatest nuclear power right on the Earth. I think they have more than anyone else, and they, you know, they've had their treaties and stuff, and then of course they started jumping off from all those treaties, and now they're developing other types of weapons and all that stuff. But the point is, yeah, they're pushing for NATO membership, which would take us even closer to that, which means more fucking dead people, which is insane, right? So that's what some of them at least want to do, beyond the fact of just like, let's just extend it for as long as possible and milk this for as long as we can. In the meantime, we'll get rich and we can have all these, you know, people that we don't like go to war and fight with each other. Although I do say this, it looks like the signals are there that they're trying to get like Europe and America involved in a greater war, be that from springing out of the Russia-Ukraine war or the Israel, Palestine, Gaza, now Lebanon war as well, right? Because that's popping off at the same time. And Europe is being spread thin, as, of course, is America, which is supposed to back up all these other countries all the time. And, hey, we got to give money to Armenia. We got to give money to Taiwan. We got to give money to Israel. We got to give money to Ukraine. And it just never stops, right? Again, look at that list. Did I have it in here? Look at the list of all the countries. Well, it's in the previous tweet, I guess. Egypt, Afghanistan, South Vietnam, Ukraine, Iraq. Ukraine, I think, have bumped up since that time, too, because they've given a lot more billions since this data was taken here. Iraq, South Korea, United Kingdom, India, Turkey. So as you can see there, they're just handing out money to everybody. While, of course, they're screwing over their own population, right? So people are pissed off about this. Signs, the little signals we're getting here. You know, they've been starting to do those commercials with like, now all of a sudden, white men are back in the military, you know, recruitment advertisements that they're running and stuff like that. And people are like, what's going on here? Anyway, IDF carry out fresh airstrikes on Hezbollah. what in the fuck is this wording about? Fresh airstrikes. But that looks like some weird, that looks like some War of the Worlds shit there too, by the way. Israeli artillery explodes over Lebanon. Anyway, so you can actually, if you actually go and you I was like, what is this thing with fresh? Is this a word they're using in the media now? How about some fresh airstrikes? Fresh Israeli airstrikes on Lebanon, The Guardian. Sirens sounded to be after fresh airstrikes. At least 17 Palestinians killed as Israel launches fresh airstrikes in Gaza. Fresh Israeli airstrikes claim at least 16 lives in Lebanon. UN News, Gaza, fresh airstrikes. This just goes, Turkey says launched fresh airstrikes. This is something they're using. Israel faces, fresh condemnation, that's a different one. But you see what I'm saying? Yeah, this is apparently a thing they're using now. Fresh airstrike. Anybody for some fresh, juicy, crisp airstrikes? Anybody? the words they use, it's disgusting. Netanyahu distanced himself from U.S.-led proposal for ceasefire in Lebanon. Even the U.S., remember a number of times I was like, you should probably settle down a little bit right about now. This would be a good time to cool it with the fucking Amalek shit and the Edomite fanaticism and all that. Because it's not looking good for you. And of course, they know that, since we're Israel's bitch, not the other way around, we're going to have to step in and fight this war for these crazy Israeli Jews, and maybe they don't want to do that right about now. I'm not sure if they want to do that right now. Or maybe they do. I'm not sure. There's some footage. South Lebanon is being destroyed by Israel right now after these after these fresh airstrikes. Yeah, exactly. Cool it with the Semitism. That's correct. Fresh genocide. Yes. Some refreshing airstrikes is what it looks like. Some more fresh kids to die, so the more brown people can come into Western countries, essentially. But they're just going all in, and they want to kill as many people as possible. And also they can't kill. They drive into our countries and then they weaponize them against us. While of course the promise that Yahweh made about the greater Israel, from soup to nuts, from the river to the sea, right? Because that was the Likud party's original fucking motto, wasn't it? They wanted that. Well, that's what Yahweh said, because it says though so in this book we wrote that we're gonna be handed this land, okay? So we're gonna claim it, and we're gonna drive these ancient Amorites out of these areas like Lebanon, and we're gonna kill Amalek at the same time by having them breed out and be genocided by those people we drove out of the region. So this is how big the tent is now. It's kind of interesting, right? Because you had Dick Cheney. Didn't he endorse Kamala or something? Or he would be much better because they want. Trump would, of course, it would be a disaster in terms of like the Israel situation, I believe. He would give them anything they want or whatever. Not that Kamala wouldn't, to be honest, though. But some of the other conflicts, like Ukraine, for example, they seem a little bit, if they will actually do something about it, that's a different matter, right? But they seem a little bit more, balanced on that and like, let's try to kind of ease off on that a little bit. You at least would get that. But of course, a Dick Cheney doesn't like that, you see. So as the tweet says, you carpet bomb the third world until the sand glows, and then you bring 100 million survivors to Ohio. How about that, right? More Haitians, more Lebanese, more Palestinians, more people from any country that can jump on it at the time, because that happened, of course, when the Syrian war popped off, right? Every fucking sub-Saharan Africans jumped on this. Oh, well, sure, I'm from Syria. You bet. Afghans jumped on this. Other Asians, South Asian countries jumped on this. Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan and whatever Stan countries. And they were like, this is a great, great time. All right, we've got to do an archive on this. Hang on here. So New York Times, I'm going to talk about this leadership a little bit, because there you have an AOC and a Dick Cheney, right? I mean, all of them are the war party now. Like, all of them are war. Everything is about war. Everything is about, again, as I said, lining their own pockets. We'll play that a little bit here, the BlackRock clip there too. But at home, of course, you have massive corruption, and it's always funny when they throw some of them to the wolves or under the bus, whatever term you prefer. Eric Adams, right, the mayor of New York City, have been indicted in a lengthy corruption investigation, insisting he was innocent and he was expected to speak soon at a news conference. I didn't do nothing. I don't doubt this because they all do this. But for some reason, they're throwing him under the bus. And I think he was like, this is my racism right here. Let me see if I can find that wonderful clip. The thing I'll remember Eric Adams for the most. Don't tell me I didn't. Don't say I didn't download that. Did I not download that? I got to find it then. Well, I know he called white people crackers. Oh, obviously, right? He did go to Israel, though, by the way. He did crawl. He did crawl to Israel on the Israel shit. Oh, their security is very important. But, for whatever reason, like, you can do this with the amount of corruption. What was it? The AOC, Pelosi's husband again had sold some fucking stock 2 weeks. But they're all corrupt. They all do shit like that. They're all lined in their own pockets. They're a bunch of criminals, all these fucking people. But for some reason, they throw Eric Adams under the bus, which, of course, because I really hate black people, right? I think that was his defense. But anyway, it is interesting that they decide to throw him under the bus. Let me find that clip real quick of Eric Adams. But we'll see. I'm not going to leave, you know, kind of thing. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Here it is. If he's gone, this is what I'll remember him the most for, right? Yeah.
You know, welcome to our trash revolution.
That's right. All right. So he finally did something that all the previous one has not been able to do. I'm not sure. Did they actually get to trash bins in New York City yet? Maybe they didn't do it. Maybe this was just more kabuki theater. I'm not sure. But anyway, that's one of the great moments for Eric Adams. He's been indicted on 5 federal charges of bribery, fraud, soliciting illegal foreign campaign donations. That means from whom exactly? Israel? No, of course not. That prosecutors say began when he was a top elected official in Brooklyn and continued after he became mayor. The indictment, which was unsealed on a Thursday morning today, follows an investigation that started in 2021. And has focused on, at least in part, on whether he conspired with the Turkish government to receive illegal foreign campaign contributions and whether he took official actions on its behalf. Even if that's true, like that Turkey is a NATO member and it says, and they're fighting Armenia on behalf of Azerbaijan, which the U.S. gives money to, not Azerbaijan, but, well, they probably do too, but to the Armenian side. They said recently they're going to up that, you know, the funds for Armenia now. What was the other country they were doing? Was it Georgia they're doing shit in now too, again, right? Anyway, this just goes on and on. The point is, there's corruption and bribery everywhere. All of them are corrupt, and occasionally just a few of them get caught. And it's always very interesting why. But anyway, Zero Hedge, I think, said that a black man breaks the glass ceiling by being one of the first African Americans to be indicted as a sitting mayor or something. That was kind of funny. But speaking of crazy blacks, here is a Democrat, Stacey Plaskett. Look at this here. Basically, she's a U.S. House of Representatives, right? She admits, or delegate, I guess she is technically, right, to the U.S. House of Representatives, admitting that the Department of Justice and the FBI, basically, yeah, they should be weaponized. And they should go after the white nationalists and, in her words, the great replacement theorists, Christian nationalists, white fragility. The FBI and the DOJ should go after white fragility and, of course, the fascists and Trump and his supporters and everything else. Listen to this.
What is the point of this subcommittee? Because it's necessary for the public and the media to hear, to try and provide cover for the eradication of the Department of Justice and the FBI. We are having these hearings so that you become immune. You become inured to the notion of the removal of the FBI and DOJ. so that those agencies are no longer there to serve as a check against white nationalism, great replacement theorists, Christian nationalists, white fragility, fascists, and the twice impeached, convicted felon, former president, and would-be dictator, Donald Trump.
Ooh, just mic drop. Boom. Now, let's look accurately at this here, right? Because they are afraid of those groups, right? It's not, because, you know, the other side's kind of like, well, that's ridiculous. No one's, why are they afraid of these groups or whatever? Well, here's my clip to Fairman here regarding his earlier super chat there. Tribe and Train, Hail Red Eyes, 1488. Thank you, Alex, so much for that again. They should be afraid of white men organizing, shouldn't they? You can take out or include one of those groups or whatever like that. You can even talk, the clip I'm going to play, you can even talk about like the nuances of optics, well, that this doesn't look good, but just forget all that for a moment. And just realize that like, they're correct in the sense that, yeah, their greatest enemy, these people who are corrupt, who are pedophiles, who are replacing us, who are anti-white, who are doing white genocide, who are wanting to not only make your kids gay, but they want to normalize cutting off the genitals of little kids and shit like that. That entire guard, whoever they are, whatever background they have, they are correct in the sense that they should fear when white men begin to organize and get together and said, we have had fucking enough. And of course, a lot of this is now taking place begrudgingly from their perspective in European nations. It's taking place in America, and young white men and, you know, are just have had enough of this. They've had enough of these people. They've had enough of seeing our nations being ruined. They've had enough of seeing everything being taken away from them in front of their eyes, which ultimately means being taken away from their children or future children or future generations. Our folk is being destroyed, and these people give no fucks, and they're just saying, we've fucking had it, and we're going to fight. We're going to fight back. We're going to stand up, and we're going to show everyone that we're here. There's a little dedication clip here. Check this out. Good stuff. Yep, that's happening whether you want it or not. It's happening because people have fucking had enough. that's what happens, right? Night Nation Review, good to see you, Nick. How's it going? Hey, Henrik, please check your Twitter DMs. I've sent information about the invitation to NNR 1000 in the beginning of October. Hope you and Lana are doing well. Nick, well, thank you. I will check that out. Sorry if I didn't get back to you. Sometimes I'm horrible at Twitter DMs. You can always email us, Nick, if you want to, redeyes@protonmail.com, but I will check that. Thank you so much. Good to see you as always. All right. Okay. So here's, okay, back to, I guess, some comedic relief. After that highly offensive clip, back to the leaders that we do have. Just put that in, compare, like, the contrast the situation, right? We had leader, and I know these are, you know, some are political, some are not political, whatever, but ultimately you need to operate with pressure groups right outside. You can set up NGOs, whatever. You can, there's different things you can set up and do that doesn't involve you to get into you know, politics directly. I listened to something with the Golan one the other day. I still think his strategy is correct as well. We should fight on every front, right? There could be some people that they don't go this way, or they don't, you know, they go a path where they seek to go into parties that at least are somewhat on our side. I'm talking about the Sweden Democrats, if we're talking about Sweden, or yes, there's problems with the AFD. And maybe if we have time later, I'll show you some of that. And both, I think it's both exaggerated concerns, but it is still a concern. Anyway, go into those parties that are close enough or getting there, or at least have a history of not being liked by the mainstream establishment and stuff like that, right? And drive it even further, right? In some regards, you might just want to have political candidates, or whatever you want to call it, that stir the pot, that causes controversy and brings attention to issues and stuff like that. And there's a cool way of doing it, and it's kind of there's a you know, over the top way of doing it. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to bicker about, you know, we're past like trying to rein everyone in and control. Yeah, it must look like this or whatever. Just stir the fucking pot. Just do something. Get active. You know what I mean? Get together with you guys. Get together with your friends. Build networks. Build community. Go into politics. Start business. Like, just get active. Do stuff, and ultimately have our folk up here front and center at the end of the day. And here too, by the way. But like, front and center at the end of the day. And we need more ethnocentrism. We need people that look out for us and our people, ultimately. That's what it takes. And in whatever field you do that, if you always keep that front and center, that could be a time where you're called upon or you are in a position to make a decision that could make or break something that is important to our folk, right? But anyway, so contrasting that then with like, if we had leaders that actually wanted to do something for our people, they very, very well could. But they don't. Because they don't... That's not what they do. That's not the purpose of it, right? Either you get these complete idiots. In some cases, you get true believers, right? They really believe what they're saying and all that stuff. But we just did a segment on Farage that we uploaded as one example, right? Of just how utterly hopeless some of these supposed nationalists are. Like, we're like, oh, we don't, it's nothing about race or skin color, or it's just a big tent, everyone's welcome, because it's just about my politics and my values or whatever, without, of course, recognizing, like, pattern recognition, or that, like, you should stand up for your people first or whatever. And then a Farage, again, will do openly, just like the Jews need to survive as a race. He says that, and then white people don't really mean, oh, no, that's just racist talk, right? And like, I've had enough of them. But anyway, speaking of the UK, now you have leaders such as Keir Starmer, who brilliantly here just was speaking on the Israeli thing, because of course, again, he has a Jewish wife, so of course now it's like he's bringing Shabbat to number 10 Downing Street, and it's so great, you know, they're all talking about that. But anyway, this is what's on his head when he's on his mind, I guess, when he's talking about the Israeli hostages. Hilarious.
Immediate ceasefire in Gaza. The return of the sausages. The hostages.
he's just such a goof, this guy. Listen to that.
Immediate ceasefire in Gaza. The return of the sausages. The hostages.
The return of the sausages. Give me a fag, will you? Can you lend a man a fag? Was it Scottish fags? Whatever it was called. That's a great commercial, by the way. Do you guys remember that? Fox Dio and Odyssey with a 1488. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Dono. Bigot Small says, I'm smart and can do stuff too. Good. We want you to. Get smarter and get involved. Get dedicated. Absolutely. Good to see you, Bigot Smalls. Der Scharusker says, the awakening is on the rise, and this is an inspiration for the further struggle. It indeed is. I know you're talking about the sausages. Good to see you, Dr. Scherzker. All right. Faggots, right? Was that what it called? The faggots? Not fags. Faggots, right? Can we please find that? X have turned into a better video platform. I was looking for a complete, like, old school Red Eyes topics, right? We're talking about, like, it was a, because apparently, here I go on the fucking tangents again. Canada, no, it's, actually, the US shot down a UFO over Yukon, I think 2023. Anyway, long story short, and they'd say, oh, well, concerned with weather balloons and Chinese spy balloons or whatever. Clearly, this thing was not a balloon, but whatever. So I'm just like, that shape of whatever it was that they shot down looks like this other thing that was known as the NASA Tether incident. And it was like the people had analyzed the footage there, and this object went by, which looked just like the thing that they shot down. And I'm just like, can I find that on YouTube? That, like, I distinctly remember there was a video, and I'm looking for the other hand, so I'm spacing out. There was a video on that, and like showing the shape and all this stuff. And I was like, I'm just finding where, and you can't find even like old UFO videos on YouTube anymore. It's just all corporate nonsense and total bullshit. And the only thing that came up was like some ancient aliens thing from like Discovery Channel or something. Do I have to eat my words now? Will I find it on YouTube? Anyway, the point is, you could find more on X in terms of like, yeah, here it is. Okay, you could. I could find it on YouTube. God damn it! I just ruined my own point here. But anyway, at least the UFO stuff, this you could find on YouTube. But anyway, a lot of stuff that you can't find anymore, which is they ruined it. They totally ruined it. They just turned into a commercial platform. Here we go. Here's the for all the faggot lovers out there. Here we go.
Hello, faggot lovers everywhere.
Yes.
I have a message for you from Birdseye. Birdseye faggots will appeal to your whole family. They've made them with lashings of gravy, but they've gone easy on the spice because kids don't like them too spicy, apparently. Birdseye even suggests that people who don't like faggots could enjoy these. They live in hope. You know, they could be right.
Faggots in gravy. Simpler time, am I right? All right, anyway, good stuff. Something for the faggots out there. For the faggot enthusiasts out there. All right. Will somebody think of the sausages? The return of the sausages. Speaking of sausages. Is that... what's this here?
Let's talk about your Cable Ace Award.
Let's talk about buttered sausage. Talk about buttered sausage, where it comes from, what it does. Why is it doing what it's doing? Get it out of my face. What about buttered sausage?
Let's talk about your Cable Ace Award.
It looks like the... Am I wrong here? Is this... Why can't I remember his name? What's the actor's name? Is that him? The... what the fuck is his name again? He was in Silver Bullet, right? Well, he always... yeah, is it Gary Busey? You're right, Philip. That's right, isn't it? It's Gary Busey. I think that's what happened with Gary Busey. He's gone?
Let's talk about buttered sausage. Talk about buttered sausage, where it comes from, what it does. Why is it doing what it's doing? Get it out of my face. What about buttered sausage?
That's a fall. That's a fall from grace. But anyway, all right, be that as it may. I always like Busey, Gary Busey. All right. Yeah, Nick Nolte. Yeah, they were in a movie together where they're like hiking or something. Nick Nolte and Gary Busey, which was not bad, I think. Actually not bad, but yeah, they've gone far, fallen from grace. Anyway, that's what happens when you get into Hollywood. It rots your brain, I guess. From Gaza to Ukraine, why do so many modern wars last so long? In 2014, right, when they broke out, they were asking, how long is it going to take? So it could take a couple of years to calm down the situation. 10 years since then, people have been detained, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to say, he's covered early twists in terms of fight and still doesn't know when the war will end. I don't want to say forever, but for a long time, maybe another decade, he said in an interview. The Ukraine-Russia war and the Israel-Hamas conflict in Gaza are both part of feuds with long histories. Ukraine declared independence from Russia in 1918, then lost a war in the years that followed. Ukraine didn't gain independence from Moscow until 1991 with the Soviet Union breakup. Meanwhile, the Israel-Hamas battle is part of a larger Israeli-Palestinian dispute that also stretches back a century. Gee, I wonder why. I mean, that's very different than anything regarding Israel that they're trying to like make similar to something. It's they left that region. They were got, if they even were there to begin with, back in whenever fucking 2,000 years ago, whatever. Hadrian should have finished the job, put it that way. In both current wars, a common question is, when will the fighting end? But given the tortured history, it might be better to ask, will it ever end? This is NPR. This is shitlib NPR asking these questions. Both of these conflicts have very, very high stakes that are relatively invisible, said Gideon Rose, another member of the tribe, who's with the Council on Foreign Relations. Russia is trying to conquer Ukraine, he says. Ukraine is trying to fight for its life. The Israelis are trying to suppress all attacks from Gaza, and the Palestinians are trying to avoid being completely subjugated, Rose, adding that this doesn't leave a lot of room for compromise. I don't think Russia is trying to conquer Ukraine. I don't think so. I mean, you never know. I don't know what is in the head of Putin, but I'd say this. Maybe now they're like, all right, like, we tried, fuck that, the negotiations, the Minsk agreement, they broke that, the West is meddling, all these other interests, whatever, so now they're like, all right, fuck that shit, we'll take the whole thing over. Maybe now that's what they want, I'm not sure. But regardless, I think Gideon Rose here is exaggerating that a little bit. But anyway, these conflicts also reflects a harsh reality of many modern wars. They can grind on inconclusively. Even when the fighting reaches the point where neither side can score a complete battlefield victory, which is kind of interesting because it's almost in the reverse, right? We thought, in the future, more advanced weapon, more deadly weapons, more just incredibly large explosions, nuclear war, like all that stuff. And that doesn't... Look, occasionally, of course, they use things like the... What is that called? The hypersonic missiles and largely the MOAB, or they used in Afghanistan, the U.S. and stuff. That does happen, but I'm saying overall it's not that. It's instead like small drones. You know, like it's weird and it just kind of prolongs. I think that's correct. It's true, but it's kind of in reverse of what most people thought. Like, oh, in the future we'll have developed these weapons and we can all just, destroy each other. No, instead, like, we're gonna die because of fucking microplastics and nanoplastics. That's how the human race will, like, not in some big, good, not that it's glorious, but not on the battlefield, not like with, like, sword in hand, figuratively speaking, because it wouldn't be that, but I'm saying that's not how we'll go out. We'll go out because of, like, some fucking gay endocrine disrupting chemical was released by some fags in a corporate boardroom somewhere. Like that's how we're gonna go out. They say here, you've got to manage the problem. You have to contain it. You've got to make sure that we don't go into World War III. Weapons now flow freely. This is a big part of it, right? These current battlefield scenarios aren't new. In the past, some wars endured for many, many years, even decades. But several factors contribute to making modern wars last a long time, and these two in particular. First, weapons and technology have never flowed so freely. Thank you, globalist free markets. This means a smaller military can get its hands on more and better weapons than previously. Ukraine uses cheap drones to counter Russia's much larger traditional army. Drones are just a toy turned into a weapon. One drone can cost maybe up to $1,000, and you can attack a bigger target like a tank and destroy the tank, which costs $3 million. In the Middle East, Israel receives the vast majority of its advanced weapons from the United States. Yeah, wonder what the reason for that could be. Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon used to fire short-range rockets that only threaten communities just across the border in southern and northern Israel. But with help from Iran, who now wants to assassinate Trump. Isn't this how they'll spin it now? He might actually go to war with Iran, by the way. That's another thing we didn't talk about. They've always wanted to do that. This is what this is leading up to, right? With Israel escalating the conflict and stuff. That's where this is going, ultimately. They want to fucking knock out Iran. Those two groups have been firing thousands of rockets into Israel and can now strike throughout much of the country. Yep. Failed efforts of the political situation. Anyway, it goes on here. But yeah, the point is these go on. But also because of the industry, right? They want them to go on. There's another piece they had, More Forever War. So I guess it's a podcast primarily. But the U.S. is trying to broker an end to the war between Israel and Hamas. Ceasefire talks begin and end again. And of course, as we showed, Netanyahu has no interest in that. He's like, well, we're going to destroy Amalek. And that's not the only war the U.S. hopes to end. Russia and Ukraine have been fighting since 2014 when Russia first attacked. That's funny. for no reason whatsoever. It launched a full-scale invasion in February 2022, more than 2.5 years ago. The U.S. and NATO have been supporting Ukraine's efforts to hold off Russia in hope to preserve border security and stability in West. Yeah, it's that has led to a lot of stability in Europe, by the way. Look at it now as a consequence of energy costs and not having any defense ourselves left now because we've given it all to Ukraine. The next occupant of the White House looks certain to inherit two major conflicts. Why are these wars lasting so long with no end in sight? Well, let's answer that, shall we, with the clip I made on World War BlackRock.
This is a war that should have never happened. It's a war that Russians tried repeatedly to settle on terms that were very, very beneficial to Ukraine and us. The major thing they wanted was for us to keep NATO out of the Ukraine. The big military contractors want to add new countries to NATO all the time. Why? Because then that country has to conform its military purchases to NATO weapon specifications, which means certain companies, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, General Dynamics, Boeing, and Lockheed, get a trapped market. In March of 2022, we committed $113 billion. Just to give you an example, we could have built a home for almost every homeless person in this country. We then committed another $24 billion since then, 2 months ago, and now President Biden's asking for another $60 billion. But the big, big expenses are going to come after the war, when we have to rebuild all the things that we destroyed. Mitch McConnell was asked, can we really afford to spend $113 billion to Ukraine? He said, don't worry. It's not really going to Ukraine.
It's going to American defense manufacturers.
That's the fag that
so
said it, right?
It. It's
that's
a
right.
Money laundering scheme.
Forgot about that.
And who do you think owns every one of those companies? BlackRock. So Tim Scott, during the Republican debate, said, don't worry, it's not a gift to Ukraine, it's a loan. So raise your hand if you think that that loan's ever getting paid back. Yeah, of course it's not. So why do they call it a loan? Because if they call it a loan, they can impose loan conditions. And what are the loan conditions that we impose on? Number one, an extreme austerity program, so that if you're poor in Ukraine, you're going to be poor forever. Number two, most important, Ukraine has to put all of its government-owned assets up for sale to multinational corporations.
That's it.
Including all of its agricultural land, the biggest single asset in Europe, in Ukraine. There's been 1,000 years of war fought over that land. It's the richest farmland in the world. It's the breadbasket of Europe. 500,000 kids, almost, Ukrainian kids, have died to keep that land as part of Ukraine. They almost certainly didn't know about this loan condition. They've already sold 30% of it. The buyers were DuPont, Cargill, and Monsanto.
Nice.
Who do you think owns all of those companies? Yeah, BlackRock. And then in December, President Biden gave out the contract to rebuild Ukraine. And who do you think got that contract? BlackRock. So they're doing this right in front of us. They don't even care that we know anymore, because they know that they can get away with it. And how do they know that? Because they have a strategy. And that strategy is an old, old strategy, which is they keep us at war with each other. They keep us hating on each other.
Дані 9 мільйонів працюючих українців на 29 міщихся українців в Україні. 14 мільйонів пенсіонери або школьники, ну, либо недееспособны. И 9 миллионов работающих. 9 миллионов работающих – это население, которое способно удержать 3-4 области. Технически способно удержать. А Украину в границах 91 года это население уже обслуживать не способно технически. Она не способна служить, дать количество людей, служащих в армии, и не способна обеспечить экономику, которая что это удержит.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
Brought to you by BlackRock.
Yeah, but who will think of the sausages? What about the sausages? What about the faggots? Okay. Well, together, because Israel can now see through walls. That's right. Israel's see-through-the-wall tech is a game changer for security forces. I say this the other day. NoCamels.com. No camel toes. Speaking of sausages, Israeli innovation news. So I just put up this thing, and voila, now you can see through the wall. Camero has been known for its through-wall imaging system. I'm sure it's like, it's probably going to, it probably cooks someone on the other side of the wall. Oh, this is 6 minutes long. Let me see what they say here.
In modern warfare and urban operations, seeing the unknown behind walls and barriers can be critical.
This is how an Israeli would sound if they wanted to sell something to an American.
Accurate real-time information is the key to mission success, to minimize danger and save lives.
In these save lives.
Scenarios, sight is might.
We're more injured brown people, more injured Palestinians being shipped to Germany.
Through the wall imaging solutions, leap into the future by revealing the now.
Is it Wi-Fi? Well, Wi-Fi is microwaves. That's 2.45 gigahertz, unless you're counting 5G then, which is 5 gigahertz. But yeah, that's a microwave. That's non-ionizing radiation, and prolonged exposure to that gives you, you know, brain cancer and ball cancer. And yeah, there's even like the few long-term, because it hasn't been long-term studies on it, is that it degrades like your telomeres, your genetic information, like over time or something. One of the studies seems to indicate or suggest that the damage caused by Wi-Fi is actually continues into the next generation. I hope that's not true, because that would be fucking disastrous. But anyway, my point is, yeah, if it's Wi-Fi, it's not going to be. it's not going to be good. What I'm saying is, you know, they also have to use a really strong, a powerful signal. Is that the right term? Powerful. Radiation? What's the term? You know, in fact, you know what I mean. It would be strong, right, to be able to see through a wall. So you know it'd be like detrimental to the other guy on the other side.
The mission success multiplier.
All right. Anyway, we'd have to look at this. I'm just making fun of this point essentially. Well, yeah, but they're this is what they're getting money for. So they could develop and see through wall. It's just going to be all this high tech shit in the future. If there is a future, and it's going to be drones and Terminator bots and AI and all this shit, and it's going to be like a run. It's going to have like data centers in Tel Aviv or something, and it's going to be run through there. Anyway, I saw Max Bernier from the, what is it called again? One of the political parties in Canada linking this up. The world needs fewer people. We can fit billions more, but why would we want to? And this is interesting. I agree. I think there's too many people. Well, let me add a caveat. I think white people have already begun to stabilize, right? There's a correction in terms of the increase in numbers that we did have for a while. We're still decreasing, obviously, but yeah, the indications are at some point we're going to kind of level out, I hope. But yeah, we need less refugees and asylum seekers, less migrants. We need less invaders, less welfare dependents, less people that come to our countries because they're economic opportunists. I 100% agree with that. The world needs more white people. In fact, because that's when the world does better too. Anyway, there's a whole article. We're not going to go through this, but it's basically like we could fit billions more, but the strategy here, of course, is to have white nations go to war. Right? That's the other, I guess, concluding kind of point we got to add to this, that yeah, those very same forces, including the Black Rocks and stuff, and as you saw in the clip there, the Ukrainian guy who was an ex-advisor, I think, to Zelensky, is talking about that it's like it's unsustainable. We don't even have the manpower anymore. That's why they've been sending women into the battlefield. They're looking at kids now, I guess, and people that have disabilities, and like they're just sending everyone into the meat grinder, essentially. And they're running out of people. They can't run a country. They want more white people dead, and they want to import more non-white people to the West. That's the plan by the Black Rocks. And then, of course, gobble up all the assets and resources along the way, enrich yourself, and sell it to DuPont and Cargill and Monsanto, and plant like GMO seeds in one of the most ancient bread baskets in the world, Ukraine. It's a fucking disgrace. That's what it is. Okay. Let me see here. Froggy McGee, did I miss this earlier? I'm sorry if you sent that a while ago. Maybe I missed that. I apologize for that. I always love this quote, Froggy McGee says, because it resonates with our folk that are either united and or scattered around the world. And that quote is, stand alone if you must, but stand you must. There you go. Yes, indeed, exactly. Stand by yourself if you have to, but do something. Stand at least. Remember that fat chick with the sign that said stand up to racism, but she was sitting down? That was funny. All right. We're going to wrap up in a little bit here. What else? Oh, we could cover... Let's cover the InfoWars thing here then, too. Briefly. Judge to approve auctions liquidating Alex Jones's InfoWars to help pay Sandy Hook families. Now, if it's an auction... Unless it's bought up by a hostile entity, which of course is possible. I still don't know the mechanics of it. Would be a bidding war, I would assume. So whoever offers the most money, that's who it would go to. And then that amount of money would then be given to Sandy Hook parents. Is that correct? I assume, but maybe I'm missing that. But the point is, you could very well have, and you probably will have, a situation where Alex Jones will be continuing to be able to do InfoWars because he has enough, he's enough high profile. Why, seriously, like, how many spaces have Alex Jones not been with Elon Musk on with now? Or did I get those words right? You know what I mean. He's been on spaces with Elon Musk many, many times. Can't he, how much are they asking? You know, how many, 100 million? I mean, I know he owes a billion, which is ridiculous, right? Absolute, you know, bullshit. I assume they wouldn't put a number. I'm looking for it here. They wouldn't put a number here. Well, he's not going to ask a billion for it because it's not worth that. But anyway. Okay, it's just about talking about what he has here. But okay, well, I don't know. He's owed more than $50 million to another Jones-owned company. Okay, all right, well, whatever. Anyway, if the debt is found to be valid, that could reduce any amount in the Sandy Hook family's ultimately getting from the liquidations. Okay, but anyway, we'll see what happens. I mean, anything's possible. Maybe they will just completely liquidate it, and I'll eat my words. But I listened to what Alex said, and he said that it's true that they're doing this, but they're misunderstanding, and most likely they'll be able to continue if and when someone buys it up. And as I said in the opening segment there, it looks like at least Roger Stone is looking at getting together with some people to buy up InfoWars and the brand and all that stuff. But if he does, I don't think he would be, obviously he wouldn't be legally obligated at that point to liquidate the assets that they have. Obviously not, right? But what I'm saying, why can't a Musk step in and just fucking buy it off of him then and you know, let him continue to run it or something like that? But yes, point being, this is fucking outrageous. It's totally insane that this is how they're running things and doing now. And I think it's to set that, set the president to just go after them legally, sue them for something they said because it hurts someone's fifis, and then you just take all their shit. And that's how you shut down people that have media companies that you don't like. Alex Jones got a $1.5 billion fine over his 2012 comments about Sandy Hook. Well, still keeping score, there have been zero fines for the lies about Iraqi weapons of mass destructions. Zero fines for lies about Project 2025. I can think of severe things, but okay, sure. Zero fines for the lies about the COVID vax. That's a good point. Hunter's laptop. Yeah, I mean, sure, that's fine, but minor, right? Russia collusion, the Butler attack. I said about for lies about 9/11, for lies about the USS Liberty. For lies about general views on health and nutrition, such as like, well, seed oils and margarine is great for you, and in fact, eating fat is bad, and you're going to die. So, how many millions of people have that killed, right? Sarah Fines for lies about non-ionizing radiation. Here we go with that again. Someone was like, how is that bad for you? We can pull that up, right? Zero fines for lies about AIPAC and Zionist influence over America. Zero fines for lying about and denying the replacement of white people in basically every country. As I said, zero fines for lying about how diversity is our greatest strength. Point is, we could go on and on with this all day long. Yeah, what's wrong with non-ionizing radiation? Long-term exposure to non-ionizing radiation can lead to a number of health concerns, including cancer, brain cancer, salivary gland tumors, neurological and cognitive function, miscarriage, other effects, premature aging of the skin, eye damage, tissue damage due to heat, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so no, that's not good for you in any way. What was I thinking about? It's another point, and I forgot it. But yeah, the point is, take the sacklet. Now, they did receive fines, but let's spin it in a different way in terms of like accountability or something like that, right? Let's talk about the Sackler family for a second. Just happen to be Jewish, of course, but you know, that's neither here nor there. These are just individuals, okay, and they just tried to help people, basically. But yeah, the opioid crisis, as you can see in the screenshot there, taken from one of the articles, shows that Purdue Pharma, which of course was owned by the Jewish Sackler family, had a blockbuster drug, OxyContin, which is the leading cause to the what's known as the opioid epidemic, which has apparently killed almost half a million people, almost 500,000 people. That's as many as they estimate have died, I think, in the Ukraine war now, right? Sure, it was spread out over two decades, right? So we can't notice anything about this. But no one in the Sackler family have faced any legal repercussions directly, right? Why? Because they're protected. That's why. This is a bug. Sorry, this is a feature, not a bug, right? Of the system and stuff like that. But it occurred to me, like, have these people lost their bank accounts, like we have, you know, with Red Eyes and so many other people? They're like, you know, dissidents, whatever term you want to prefer. We basically just look out for our folk. That's the primary objective is to say, stop fucking with white people and try to genocide us, okay? That's if you can boil it down, that's it. If you want an even quicker version, folk first. That's us, right? That's what we're doing right now. That's currently our objective. Folk first, stop genociding us, right? We're losing bank accounts over that. We're losing payment processors. We're being banned from all these platforms, blah, blah, blah. These fucking people can go on and kill half a million fucking people, and there's no legal... Do you think they've lost their bank accounts for killing half a million people? Of course they haven't. And then a Netflix series comes out called Painkiller, following all of this, right? About how the Sackler family engineered the opioid epidemic, targeting poor white people primarily in, like, you know, the Appalachian area, essentially. But the show never mentioned that they were Jewish. And then this guy was coming. But as a Jew watching the docudrama, I cringed because everyone knows that the Sacklers are Jewish, right? But it's incredible, isn't it? It's just, I don't know. It's you can be behind, in this world right now, you can be behind mass murder, like murder of I mean, indirectly, right? But this is what it led to. They talk about stochastic terrorism, like, oh, the words you use is leading to this person who was insane, who shot someone, and now it's your fault. Well, what about this here? What about this? And this is just one. How many other examples can we do? Have they lost? Were they banned? Have they been banned? Did they lose their bank accounts with Wells Fargo for killing half a million people through their fucking drugs? No, there's no members of the Sackler family that have faced any legal repercussion directly. Yeah, they had to pay fines, but that was ultimately through, you know, Purdue and all that stuff. And they have plenty of money anyway. They still live in lavish palaces with millions and millions and millions of dollars at their disposal. Well, but if you say the wrong, if you stand up for white people and use a couple of wrong words, holy shit. Everything will come down on you and crash you out as hard as it can. The boot will stomp down hard on you. All right. No, I'm you know, Facebook consider me an enemy. My brother, when he wants to come visit me, is interrogated on terrorist charges. Yeah, I mean, not charges, but like they're treating him like he's some kind of terrorist for coming in to the U.S. when he and my mom want to come visit me, right? The Sackler family stopped at airport and asked, what have you been working with? Oh, really now? What did that work lead to? Are they stopped? Are they harassed? Are they asked questions about who they are, what their beliefs are? Here, give me your phone so we can take a copy off of it. Swipe it. I don't know. It's just everything's fucked up in this world right now. All right. Anyway, I think that's a good time to start wrapping up. We'll cover the weather balloon here probably tomorrow, Friday, because we'll be back. We'll talk about some old school topics, well, among other things. But yeah, they shot down this fucking thing here, whatever it was. Where's the photo? Well, it's kind of at the top. That's a tiny photo. We'll blow that up for you. Yeah, they shot it down over the Yukon, and they never retrieved it because they said it was too difficult to do with the conditions of snow back in February 2023. Okay, well, now when there's no snow, did you go there to check out what did we shoot? No. Nope, I haven't heard anything. Fascinating, isn't it? All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate all of your support. Thank you to everyone who super chatted today. A special shout out to Arctic Wolf Albert for single-handedly donating more than any of you other guys did today, and I appreciate him tremendously. And that's not a knack, but man, come on, guys, you gotta step up here and match our friend Arctic Wolf here, who's keeping Red Ice thriving because of his generous contribution. All right, guys. So another way if you want to support us, of course, is to get a membership. redicemembers.com. There's a manual activation process right there on the members website right now. Again, due to the reasons we just talked about, because we're banned from major or, you know, mainstream payment processors. So we have to use third-party plugins and things like that. So we, you know, they're not connected on the back end. So we do apologize if there's a delay on activation of your membership. We try to do it as quickly as possible within 24 hours. But if you, for some reason, fell through the cracks but didn't see the email, whatever, write to us. Again, even if you wrote to us before, redice@protonmail.com, remind us, and we'll get your account activated as soon as possible. However, if you do want instant access and don't want to bother with waiting those potential 24 hours to get your account activated, you can sign up on Odyssey, Subscribestar, or Locals. That will give you instant access, but it doesn't have, of course, the entire archives like redicemembers.com does. That goes back all the way to 2006. If you want to check out some of the earlier stuff we were covering as well, that's on redicemembers.com. But yes, it's only $10 a month. And of course, if you get a longer sub, if you sign up for a 2-year sub or something like that, it's like up to 35% off, I think, per month as well. So that's a great way to get the price down. But yes, sign up. Don't wait. Don't sit on your hands and wait for other people to do it. We need your support. We want your support. We want to keep growing. We want to go do good things. We have a lot of things, a lot of projects in the works that we would like to swing into action. But as you know, it takes resources, it takes time, and it takes manpower. And ultimately, without manpower, we can't do it. And when we do, want to expand, we got to have help. And we have to pay people. So that's how it goes. So if you like what we do, if you appreciate what we do, please sign up. It's only $10 a month. Doesn't cost you a lot. But if a lot of you out there go ahead and support us in that way, it helps us tremendously and it gives us more resources. It will give us more time even to do more things, do better things and all that stuff. So please do consider it. Sign up. Don't wait. Sign up. RedIceMembers.com. Just $10 a month. All right, also thanks to our executive producers today, T. Lothrop Stoddard, V. Miller, Resin Revolt, we got Good Luck Lap, Jake, Red Pill Rundown, French 47, Mark Smith, No One Jeeves, President Obunga, Mongoose, William Fox, Angry White Soccer Mom, The Second Wanderer, Operation Werewolf, The Ride Never Ends, Last Place Simp, Joseph Hart. We also have Purple Haze, Rex Ballington, Call Me Combo Deal, The Dearborn Toxic Event, Brendan Anthony, Penelope 7 USA, Bertrand Compare It, I think it is, Dixie Drone Force, Arctic Wolf, And we also have Europe Awake, Teutonic Werebear. Thank you, guys. We appreciate our executive producers. And we also have a producer tier. Currently have Mr. Walker 696 in there with Lord H.P. Lovecraft, Yuanson, Trevor, Leroy Dumont, Der Schwabe, Snark Pup, Sonata for Violin, Ice Open, Whitewater Rafting Fan, Mr. Lemery, Jetfire, Urinew, ExposedFlyers.com, Obadiah Hickswill, Shane B., Perfect Brute, Restitutor Orbis, Single Action Army, and Alcyon. Thank you, guys. We appreciate that. And let me show you this one there. If you want to get a producer tier or an executive producer tier, you can get one of those at RedIceMembers.com, Odyssey, or Subscribestar. All right. Very, very good. Okay, so we'll be back with more, as I said, tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Much more to cover then. More things going on, and we'll see if we have some. We might have. Well, let's wait with that a couple of more days here. We'll see if things unlock the way we wanted to. But anyway, that's it for us today. Then sounds very cryptic, but no big. It's all good. All right. Anyway, thank you so much, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with Flashback Friday. Tune in at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's 11 p.m. Central European time. I don't think Europe has moved to. They have not done away with daylight savings hour time yet, have they? Maybe on this Sunday or something. There's almost like a week overlap where like Europe does it, America hasn't done it yet, and then there's, anyway, all confusing in the time codes. But anyway, thank you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Stay safe. Sign up for a membership, and we'll see you over there. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching. Go to RedIceMembers.com and sign up for our exclusive members content. Don't miss our latest shows, interviews, and other videos only for subscribers. You can also become a member by signing up at SubscribeStar.com/RedIce. Get full access and help support our work. See you on the other side.
I am gay. I am
Putin!